Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hey, Bob Bertog, how are you today?
I'm doing well, John. How are you?
I'm doing good. We got some rain this week. Is that doing anybody any good, Bob?
It's helping a lot. We had just under an inch on Sunday, but unfortunately a lot of that came down so fast it kind of rolled off. The rain yesterday was perfect. It was like an all-day nice misty drizzle.
Yeah.
And we only had about a half an inch. But we're still, if you take the last 2 months, we're still short about just shy of 3 inches of rain. So we're not out of the woods yet, especially going into winter. And when everybody's got to water, especially the trees and shrubs, before winter.
Well, so what does this water do now? This is kind of banking it for next year. Is that what you're saying?
No, this rain that we just had really helped out the lawns a lot, because we're about to enter the period where we want to put down our last round of fertilizer. And in order for that fertilizer to work, it's going to prefer some moisture in the soil. So if the grass is actively growing from the moisture, then it'll take up the nutrients from the fertilizer. If it's dormant and just sitting there, the fertilizer will just sit there and then just degrade from the sun and time.
So this would be a good time to maybe put down that fourth step, maybe this weekend with the water we got, huh?
No, I'd like to see wait 2 more weeks, because if you put it down too early, you're going to get too much growth. And most of your last applications of fertilizer have a slow release that's going to carry it. It's going to give some food to it now, but it's going to carry the rest of the food through the winter, and the plants will take it up in the spring.
Bob, should we be watering our trees then, and how do you recommend we do that?
Yes, water the trees, do it around the drip line, which the drip line is where the ends of the branches are. The roots basically mirror the canopy of the tree underneath the ground, so you figure the drip line is about where the roots are that are taking up the water. It takes up the water at the ends of the roots, and put the hose down on a slow trickle, or you can use a root feeder, and then do it like you're going around the clock, you know, noon, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and do it in 3-4 spots around each tree at a slow trickle for maybe 10 or 15, depending on the size of the tree, 10 or 15 minutes at each stop.
And we should be doing that now, even though fall is here and winter's coming, huh?
Fall is here, and this is when plants, your grass and your trees, your shrubs, everything is storing carbohydrates and sugars for the winter. So you want those roots to be active, and in order for them to be active, they need to be helped. They need to have stimulation from the water, so the roots are properly uptaking the nutrients.
773 said, could you ask Bob Bertog if it's still okay to seed, even though the leaves are falling on the grass, or is seeding a waste of money at this point?
No, the window for seeding is still good. You still have another week or two of the seeding, and just be gentle and try and get the leaves off the grass, you know, every day if you have to, until that seed germinates, because it needs sunlight to germinate.
It says here, question for Bob. Mm-hmm. Our mature, normally very healthy smoke tree lost almost all of its leaves at the end of July and early August. We can't understand why. Could it have been damaged by the cicadas? None of the branches dropped, just the leaves. I hope it's not dead. What should we do?
If the branches didn't drop, it's not cicadas. You would have lost the tips of the branches. Without actually seeing it happen, I can guess, and maybe it just got stressed out and died from lack of moisture, because that was when we were real dry. It could be something called fire blight, which basically looks like somebody took a flamethrower to your plant, and that's a very damaging disease, and that will kill a plant. So without actually seeing the actual symptoms, I'm just speculating.
Well, we've talked in the past about if you snap one of the branches, you'll see if it's dry all the way through or if there's still living tissue. But I don't know how you sample the sort of viability of a whole tree.
Well, that's a great reminder. Do what you said. Scratch that bark a little bit. And just underneath it, if you see green, then something else happened to make the leaf drop happen. It could have just been stress. I know a lot of hydrangea defoliated completely in July and August, but if you scratch this behind the bark, they were still nice and green. A plant's natural mechanism, a defense mechanism, is to save itself. It drops its leaves, so it doesn't have to feed them. So it's saying, okay, I got to survive. So I'm going to let the leaves go and I'm going to survive.
What about this? Bob, when should I cut back my hostas for winter?
Again, give it another 3-4 weeks. Let them, because as those leaves die back, I know they look hideous right now and they're ugly, but that's how the plant feeds itself. As the leaves die, it's taking the nutrients back into the into the ground.
Well, do I have to cut them back, or can I just let them be ugly?
You can let them be ugly. That's fine. You can do it in the spring.
Yeah. Okay. 312-981-7200. You have a question for Bob Bertog, president of the Bertog Landscape Company in Wheeling, certified landscape professional with the National Association of Landscape Professionals. 312-981-7200. All the lines are ringing, as always, for the always popular Bob Bertog, the president of the Bertog Landscape Company. Bob, anything else you want to say before we go to some calls?
Well, let's go to the calls.
Roberta, you're on WGN. Hello.
Hi. I have grubs. I have a landscaper, and I'm telling you, the whole front yard is dug up. The backyard, he said he put something down there that costs like $75 or whatever. So I don't know. It looks just terrible. I don't know if I should, you know, have it all taken out of there and put new sod in there next spring or what?
Hold on, Roberta, though. But what do you mean dug up?
I mean holes all over.
Yep, I got those too.
I don't know if it's a possum digging, but he said it was grubs.
And, well, it's something getting at the grubs, right?
Right, exactly. It's the raccoons and the skunks that are going after the grubs. And
Roberta, you just described my yard, by the way. Everywhere mulch, I've got holes, and some of the lawn, they're just going in there and eating my grubs. Go ahead, Bobby.
Well, so what you need to do is make sure that insecticide is, you got to put down a fast-acting insecticide. We've talked about it before. There's a product called Dilox, and if you water it in, the grubs will ingest it, and they'll die within 2 or 3 days. But that doesn't mean that damage is going to stop, because once it's known that you have grubs in your area, they call all their friends and they say, where are we going tonight? Well, we're going to go to Roberta's house and have some grubs. So they're, and you can see if they're there, the grass will pull up like a carpet, like a throw rug, and you'll see them in there. And if there's more than 8 to 12 per square foot, that's a lot. So it sounds like what you're describing, you have pretty bad infestation of them.
Now, the landscaper was supposed to come today, and he was across the street, but he didn't cut my grass. I don't know, is that because he put things, something down there or what?
I can't answer why he wouldn't cut your grass, but no, one should have nothing to do with the other.
Okay, then I'm going to call him because I don't think he forgot, because I can tell if it's been, and I'm up when he comes, so...
Hey, I got one last question for Bob, for you, Roberta, and that is this Dilox that you can put down. Can you put that down now, Bob, or do you wait until the spring?
Oh, no, put it down now while they're feeding. You want them to stop now, and once the grubs die, the damage from the skunks and the squirrels should stop too.
Yeah. Do the grubs use landlines, or do they have cell phone technology? You're the one that started that. Okay, let's go to, good luck, Roberta. Sheila, you're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Yes, I've got a question about clover that I have on my lawn that has just gone crazy this year. And I have a product I bought, and it says in the fall that I can apply this on my lawn to get rid of white clover. Is that the green clover that's coming up now with the little white flowers like at the top?
Clover generally flowers in July.
Yeah.
No, I've not seen white clover right now. And again, there's... It could be anything still flowering, but clover typically flowers late June, early July.
Well, what do you say if she's got some sort of clover growing across her yard? Is there just a all-purpose product?
Yeah, I'd just put down a broad-spectrum herbicide, a selective herbicide, not like a non-selective. Make sure it's selective broadleaf. So it sounds like what you're describing is a broadleaf weed.
Yeah, because this one does say it's a product that you can use on lawns, that it will not harm the lawns, but it will go after the weeds. And in the fall, it mentioned white clover. So that's why I was just kind of curious. If I don't know how you tell. To me, clover looks the same.
I get you.
I don't know.
But it sounds like what she's got, Bob, would work. I mean, if it's it's selective, it's not going to kill the grass. I would give that a try.
I absolutely would give it a try. Spring and fall are the best times to kill the weeds, but they're a lot easier to kill when they're flowering, because that's when they're the most active.
Good
luck
to you.
They're spending all their energy putting the flowers out. And so that's when you hit them.
Give it a try. Good luck, Sheila. How about Kim? You're on WGN with Bob Bertog.
Hi, I have some mulch under, bagged mulch underneath the deck. I've had it there for a while, and I can see some green in the bags. Is that something I can still use?
Probably. It's probably just mold that's on there, but once you take it out and spread it around, it should dry out and be fine.
Mulch doesn't go bad, eh, Bob?
Well, if it's like wood chips, and it'll never go bad, but if it's a good mulch, it should decompose over time.
Oh, well, yeah, sure. But I mean, other than that, I think we've all done that where you go, where'd my mulch go? Well, it's broken down over the months and years, but
right.
Otherwise you're okay. Good luck to you on that then. Sounds like you're going to be okay, Kim. Can you ask Bob if I can transplant mums that have grown over the past 20 years in my front yard? Can I transplant a mum that's grown over the past 20 years in my front yard?
Absolutely. You could probably not only transplant it, but if it's big, you could divide it and give yourself more, you know, more mums.
Bob, my lawn's going to be aerated soon. Should I put down gypsum after the aeration?
You can, but I don't recommend putting products down. A lot of people, every year in the spring, they put down lime, and in the fall, they put down gypsum. And I would not suggest that unless you're doing it along a driveway that's heavily salted in the winter, or if you've taken a soil test and it says it's deficient. In chemicals, where you need to put gypsum down to correct a.
You don't like the interaction of those two chemicals, Bob?
I don't mind the interaction, but I like to know why I'm doing it. You know, I'm not doing it just to do it. If I have a soil test that tells me it needs it, that's one way, reason. Or if you're trying to help prevent salt damage, like along the street by your curb, gypsum will help do that. It helps neutralize the salt when they salt the roads.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think a lot of us can relate to that. That wouldn't be a bad. So you put that down now, sort of in advance of the salt coming?
I would probably wait till November to put that down.
The gypsum you're talking about.
Yes.
847, what are your thoughts on liquid aeration for the lawn?
I've never heard of liquid. I've heard of granular aeration, and I think they're relatively new over the past 5 years. But so far, the stuff that I've used, it's pretty impressive, the results.
Wait, a granular aeration? So you put a,
what it does is it helps break down the profile of the soil, where a lot of people have shallow roots or they have a sprinkler systems they're afraid of, and they just don't want to risk having a regular aeration done. So the next best thing is to use a granular. It's not called granular aeration, but I use a product called C20, but it does the same thing essentially. It helps change the profile of the soil so it takes up more nutrients and puts let water and air get down into the root zone.
Got it. Okay, Bob, we're out of time today. I think we'll have more questions like this next week at this time. I hope you can join us then.
I'll be here.